I thought I would just start out by just talking a little bit about the last couple days and some of the things that we said that really stuck out to me that were maybe the most profound, if I can use that word. And when we understand that all there is spontaneous life, and that it is who we are, we realize it's not something you can do. It's outside the presence of time. So it can't be done. It's being done all the time. And it's not something you can choose. You can't choose it. You can recognize it and think you chose it, but that's not the truth. The truth is it's always been there. It's always been alive. It's always been real. And it's always been beautiful, just like my son. And so spontaneous life can't be chosen, because spontaneous life is all there is. You can't choose all. There's no way to choose that, is there? And that's the revelation of living in this kingdom of spontaneous life, is that it's always flowing and it's always working. You're not doing the work. That's the rest of the whole thing. Yeah. It's doing it. It is always doing it. And it doesn't have to look right. Everything is oneness. But everything we do gets in its way by trying to find it. See, there's the key right there. Everything is what oneness, but everything we do gets in its way by trying to find it. Okay, can you put him away, please?
The sun is being disruptive.
He likes the limelight. Look at that. Dean talks about identity a lot. Probably the key part of all of this isn't so much anything to do with a God. The key part of all of this is understanding that you will never know who you are until it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
That's when you die to who you think you are, and realize that you become one with the universe. Everything in the universe is within you. The energy that's spontaneously exploding, it's not a creation, it's continuously recreating this spontaneous life every moment. And you're the source of that. It's not anything that can be controlled. You couldn't if you wanted to. That's why there can't be some God manipulating it. It's too big. It's too wonderful. It's everything all the time. It's this right now. And it never, ever changes from being this. It's always this. So if you can come back to your center and realize nothing's ever been out of order, and spontaneous life is always in the right place, because it can't be anywhere else. How could it be somewhere else? How could it ever be wrong or right? It always is. And when we get out of our head of this right and wrong stuff and all of this judgment, it can start to be seen. So I talked about enlightenment then, and how that's sort of a fallacy. And when you understand the true definition of enlightenment, it really means that it can only be realized when it is understood that it cannot be achieved by anyone. Now, how perfect is that? Is that perfect? Huh? It eliminates any kind of barriers, doesn't it? Or qualifications, or work, or study, or all this stuff we thought we've done. And then, Nisargadatta Maharaji sort of sums it up. And he says, enlightenment consists precisely of the direct seeing that there's no person. Well, that's what I just said. So there cannot be any enlightened people. There is no self. So the quest for selflessness is futile. There isn't a self to get rid of. Wow. Another perfect, beautiful understanding. There isn't someone to get rid of. We are seeking to lose something which we do not have because there's no one that can have it. That's a mouthful. What he just said. If you could just understand the core of that and realizing nothing's out of order and all there is spontaneous life, put it on your refrigerator. Yeah. It's happening whether you recognize it or not. That's what's so beautiful about it. It's always everywhere. It is never going anywhere. So that's why you can't find it. It's not somewhere. Dana Consenza always writes us a poem, and we've heard some beautiful poems. Thank you, Robert. She says, the natural eyes can only see what they see. Fixated in judgment, they determine it to be something to pray away, something to pray for, the knowledge of good and evil always knocking at the door. These eyes look around and play God on the throne. The phantom casts down judgment, using words as stones. The situation must be changed to the knowledge of good. Religion exalted to chase evil from the hood. Who judged me as naked? It must have been the eye. To cement its existence, the phantom speak nothing but lies. The fruit of this tree promises knowledge and control, separation and rules and reins down a rabbit hole. Unconditional life does not feed on that fruit. It is all in all, from the vine to the root. It has never been, it will never be out of order. It's not a remover or a diligent rewarder. Life has no judgment of what's good and evil, no need to extend gifts of ancient reprieval. Life only knows life in order and is complete. Life cannot end at the last heartbeat. Thank you, Dana. It was beautiful.
Beautiful.
Sure, she'll get it up for us so Gary can put it on her site. So, this kingdom we've been talking about, kingdom of unconditional love, well, there's no conditions, no rules. So there can't be a goal or a purpose or a plan because then what? There'd have to be conditions, wouldn't there? Now, it doesn't mean it doesn't look like those things are happening, but you're not doing it. And I'm going to talk to you about that. Trusting that. That you're not the one doing it. You're not a doer or a thinker even. We think we're the originator of our thoughts. And we've been so suppressed down with all of them for so many years and judged by them, we think we're the creator of them. But they're just a byproduct of our belief systems, which we never chose. Ever. I didn't choose to be Mike Nevins as a boy. I never chose that. I didn't choose my parents. And I didn't choose to be raised in a United Brethren church and grow up with the Pentecostals coming and visiting us every summer. And when they left, everything was hell this and hell that. So my mom was at least 10% Pentecostal. Maybe a little more. So the thing about unconditional love is that it's not love. It's unconditional love. See, and that's not a love or an emotion or a feeling. It's everything all the time. It's life. And until you take the conditions away from it, you won't know what real love is, because it's conditional. And that's where the difficulty is. So love without the word unconditional is just a human emotion, a feeling. I think you've got to be kind. Well, you don't always feel kind. What about then? Right? You judge it as wrong, and it's not wrong. It's not wrong or right. It's just life happening. If you kick the cat, you've kicked the cat. You have to go say you're sorry. It's over. Does it mean you're evil? It's just nuts, the stuff we've been taught and thinking. So, unconditional love is everything all the time. So there's never been anything that can be controlled in that spontaneous flow of life that's exploding onto the scene in the present moment. How could anything, including our version of a puny God, control everything every second without having a million computers? You'd have to have helpers. You see how insane that is? To think somehow something's controlling that? And that's really the definition of God everyone has out there. You can try to massage it away and call it a verb and make it sound prettier, but no one else thinks of God that way. All everybody thinks of God is a God of reward and punishment. So what I've just said to you in all of this is that nothing's out of order. That's the same thing as saying spontaneous life is controlling everything. Nothing's out of order. Nothing's ever been out of order. And just that part of that sentence will release you from your past. Nothing's ever been out of order. You've never made a mistake. None have ever been made. And none will ever be made. You can't be anywhere except in this place of spontaneous life. And once recognition comes to that and starts to overtake you, there's a peace and a rest. Sure, you can't trust yourself. I know that. Quit trying. It doesn't work. It won't happen like this. If you decide you've got to do something someday or whatever, and you know it's true, it might take a week for it to come around. But it doesn't change the fact that it's true. But we want this instantaneous gratification with things all the time, especially in America. Grab it and blab it, you know? So everywhere, we're totally surrounded by the stillness of unconditional love and life. It's our home. And our home is oneness. And it's your original nature. This thing we've talked about that we've had before time began, this is your original nature right here. This is the pure definition of original nature. It's this spontaneous, unconditional life and love where nothing's ever out of order. If nothing's ever out of order, you can't judge it. You can't say it's right or wrong. Now, to help you with that, I told you, let's put this, you know, like these jars they put dolls in, you know?
Russian.
They're a globe that's open on the bottom. Just, if you have to, just put those down over you and put your blinders on and just block out all of this stuff and realize that's the only thing that needs to be in order is right there. That's what's in order all the time. That comes from within you. It is within you. It's always there, and it's always speaking, as we've talked about. And you'll begin to realize this. I know I was talking with Karen, and she, can I tell what you said? She likes to listen to talk shows, and she said she couldn't put it in her ear anymore. She just couldn't do it. That's what it does. It wasn't a rule. It isn't something she tried to do. She just couldn't do it anymore. Well, what is that? That's this thing welling up in you, that's speaking to you, and it's saying, you know, this, I can't do this anymore. That's how it works. Isn't that amazing? I can't believe I used to listen to it every day. I'm just shocked that I listened to it and thought it was good. So right here with us is simply what is. It's everything all the time. There's nowhere it can be found. It goes with you everywhere, so you can't escape this. Wherever you're at, bam, it's there. You can turn right around and find it. I promise you. You wander off in your mind into the wilderness and you instantly can be back in that place when you recognize nothing's out of order.
Yeah.
Instantly. Yeah. I don't care where you're at. If you're in a brothel, or you're down on the street as a crack whore, or whatever you're doing. Sorry, that's the only word that keeps coming up because you've said it so much. Sorry, Robert. I like the sound of that, crack whore, you know, I like that.
Crack
hoe. Crack hoe. So what does the spontaneous life where nothing's out of order mean? What are some of the things it can mean? It's not a religion, is it?
No.
It has no God. It has no book. It's not looking for followers. It doesn't care what you do. We can't believe that. We can't believe that it doesn't care what you do. We can't believe that now. Why? Because it's beyond our understanding. We can't believe it. It's spontaneous love's job to get you in line, okay? It's its job, not yours. And when it's time, if it's time, it will happen. It will just happen. And you'll go, wow, thank you. It doesn't care what you've done. That's sort of easy because we've been sort of taught that. You know, there's a formula to get rid of everything you've done as long as you don't screw up the next day. Run into confession. But forgiveness is an awful thing. It really is. Forgiveness is an awful thing. It's just tolerance. You know? It's all it is. It isn't real love. If you got to forgive something, you're just tolerating something. You know, the scum bums, I guess I'll forgive them. You know? But your list is still there. Crunch up the damn list. There's nothing to forgive. No, my laptop isn't producing the signal. Should be okay. We'll just keep going. I wanna try to help everybody understand a little bit about the illusion, because I sort of think the definition of them's pretty sloppy. Yeah. You know, Gary doesn't like it. And what I want to do is define that and what I've discovered, what it really means. And that is, you know, we hear people talk about the world as illusion, but I really disagree with that conclusion. So what is it? Well, the real roadblock to resting is understanding the illusion is thinking we have control. That's the illusion. Or we need to control. Because with all that desire to control or desire to be God, as Dean says all the time, comes from judging that it's right or wrong. That's the illusion. That something's out of order is the illusion. That walking around thinking it's screwed up, that's the illusion. Okay? That's the illusion. And that's all you need to be concerned about. I used to think when I was started to hear some of this stuff, well, all the greens would be greener and all the reds would be redder and everything would be neon colors, you know, because the earth is groaning, you know, waiting for something to happen, you know. Yeah. I think there's a movie out there. I think Robin Williams starred in it where it was beautiful because the colors they all had in it were just, yep, it was beautiful. And I thought, wow, that's nice. That must be heaven. So the illusion comes down to just our judgment that something's wrong or right, just moving away from that tree of death because that's all it produces in you. It's hell. It really is hell. That's the illusion. Believing that anything's out of order, believing that spontaneous life can be controlled, that's an illusion. It can't be controlled. It's everything all the time. Everything. Every microsecond. And if you took the largest microscope in the world and started looking at the atom world and the microscopic world, it would blow your mind. You really think that's being controlled? It's wild. There's millions of dimensions, smaller, and then you look at the universe and it never ends. Nothing's controlling that. It is everything. That can help you get around it, your mind around it just a little bit, realizing how vast it is and how beautiful it is if you withdraw from your judgment of it, thinking that something's wrong with it, you know. Go out painting your grass green or something, you know, to make it look greener. What a relief that is. It has been for me. I really do live there, and I'm thankful for what came into my life that helped bring me there to really see I have no control of life, because it really has brought a lot of freedom and rest and peace to me that I can share with you. And that's what's wonderful about it. It's really hell out there. I've tried to live there for 50 years. It's hell out there, I know. Could we try something different maybe? Huh? You think so?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Can't we try something different than hell?
Mm, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's back off from the illusion in our mind that something needs to change, that something needs to be corrected. Everything's being adjusted perfectly every second. Just how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Every second. Every microsecond. Mm-hmm. Beyond time. Everything's lined up just the way it's supposed to be. And now, when that sits in you and overtakes you, you'll find yourself correcting yourself. You'll say, oh, wait a minute. And you won't wander out into hell as long next time. That's what happens. And eventually it goes away. And you, wow, I think I'm peaceful today. Wow. I can't believe it. Moji said, try this. You've been eating a plate of shit. Try this. And see if at the end of the day you suffered, he said. That's what happens. When hell shuts itself, its big mouth up, you'll find that you aren't suffering like you used to. We can't hear ourselves talk, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
People say they enjoy this stuff and they're just sitting there bitching away. Don't even, not even listen to their own voice. All of our thoughts, now this is a sort of a new thing, okay? Something again that's going to be hard to understand. All of our thoughts are fed to us from consciousness. We aren't the creator of our thoughts, okay? You always thought you were, but you're not. This is another level where it can bring us some peace, okay? It doesn't mean you have to hook into them. It doesn't mean you have to agree with them. But you have to realize the origin of them come from consciousness and our belief systems. And as the belief systems, I don't want to change them. I want them to go away. It starts to come in line. We've never, ever had control of anything, ever. And that's the illusion. We've never had control of anything. And it's why we have no responsibility for them. The mind will never, ever, ever agree with that one. No way. Whenever I've said this, even to people recently, brakes go on. Nope, I don't agree with that. I just shut up. I just don't say anything because I know better. But it's not my job, as Robert told us, for me to make them know different. It's just my job to stay in my little dial glass and realize it's true. And it's true. I see it as true for them, as Sally shared with us. I see it as true for them. I know they're complete. I know down deep inside where the peace is at that they are. It knows better. And I see it in them. And I send that to them. And I just shut up. I think probably the most... The world of responsibility is absolute hell. It's awful. It's a terrible, terrible curse. I despise the word, to be honest with you. Just despise it. But if we're being lived through, if we begin to understand, we're being lived through by spontaneous love, spontaneous life. That's living through us. That doesn't mean the mind's going to think all the right things or wrong things all the time. Do you understand? It doesn't mean that. It means you're not your mind. That's what it means. You are not your mind. It appears like it's changing, but you're not doing any changing. It is just spontaneous love exploding over and over and over deep within you. By the time you could even think about if something's changing, it's already changed.
Yeah.
So why try? It's amazing. It's amazing for you to come into agreement with the fact that you can't control anything. I know I was having a conversation with a person and it was exciting and fun, and I just said, well, we just have to relax and realize that we have no control. And it brought such peace to the conversation. Just both of us just were so peaceful and thankful for that. Don't try to figure it out, okay? It's beyond understanding, right? I know our pretty little minds start going right away and want to control or come up with a formula, right? Yeah. And Gary was talking about stilling the mind, but you can't do it. What I found that the Eastern teachers say is just let it run its course, but you don't have to agree with it. That's what starts to slow it down. to say, I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. You can call it a name if you want. Cuss at it. Satan. Jackass. That's what I used to say. I'd say, shut the hell up, you jackass. I'm serious now. Sorry, I don't want to swear, but that's what I said to myself. Shut the hell up, you jackass. I had these conversations. I did. I had these out-of-body conversations. I said, what in the hell? Shut the hell up. I don't have to say it too much anymore, but for a while I did. I said, God, get behind me, Satan. So this dream of separation, right? This dream world of separation, it's maintained through abstract thought. That's how it's maintained. All abstract thought lives where? The future. Abstract thought about what might happen or what is happening. Even observing something in the process is almost living in the future because there's worry and fear and control there. And when there's ever control, remember I said you're outside yourself like this, outside the glass thing, scratching the surface off it inside, trying to control that thing on the other side that you have no control over. It's not any fun. Abstract thought. The only way to get out of the dream is to realize that this abstract thoughts are not yours. Don't take them personal. Okay? Don't take them personal. You don't own them. Because that creates judgment. Once you own them, it judges you. Another thing I sort of don't like is when we say we're not real. Of course we're real.
Yeah.
We don't own it. That's the reality of it. You don't own it. It's not yours to own. Mm-hmm. That's when it becomes an issue. We try to own it, and as soon as we try to own it, we want to control it. You don't own it. So I think with Karen's example and just understanding, allowing this beast to have its way, it starts to slow down on its own. It really does. To say, well, I'm not going to hook into you. If you want to cuss at it, try it. I sort of like that myself. But just don't hook into it. Don't take it personal. When this thing of abstract thought in the dream world starts to disappear, there's a natural thinking process that can begin to take over. It's fun. It's also where the creative thought begins. And the only place creative thought can ever really begin is in a relaxed and free place. There's not any fear. There's not any pressure of time. Susan and I were talking about this. You're just lost. You're lost in the art you're doing. You know, if you want to practice, to me, I think practicing meditation or silence can happen in a creative thought environment. To me, that's meditation. Because you're at peace and you're at rest. And you're not trying to do anything. You're watching yourself do something that's never been done before. You're creating something original. So if any of you have those gifts and stuff and you can ever get lost in that and just do something with that. I think that's one of the best ways to meditate. It can be done in a lot of ways. There's other ways to meditate, but whenever you're really, really super fun, don't you notice how time just disappears? When it gets like so fun, you can't stand it.
Yeah.
Time disappears, doesn't it? You go, oh my gosh, look what happened to the time. Well, there never was any there anyway. But isn't that crazy? That's real life. That's what it feels like. And I experienced that. I know it. I'm not saying I don't wander off, you know, but I don't wander off very far. I've got a short leash on that son of a book. You know, I said, wait a minute now. I'm not going to follow you. And I enjoy this life, and if I'm going to give it a number, 80% more than I used to, well, 10% more is better, because you'll never forget it. When that starts and wells up into you, you'll never forget it. And you'll go back there and it'll get bigger and bigger and you'll find you go through the whole day just enjoying yourself with nowhere to go. You've jumped in your RV and off you go. Nowhere to go and no goals, no deadlines. How exciting, how fun. Dean says, when love traveled beyond identity, it found its truth in its home. So we got to get out of our own way.
Yeah.
This guy that's yapping at you all the time, he's just got to get out of his own way. Dan Stone used to say that years ago.
Yeah.
If you want to row on a lever victoriously, just get the hell out of your own way. Because you're the only problem you've got. You're the only one that creates problems and fear and worry and crying. It's not anyone else's fault, okay? You stand there and point fingers, but it's not anyone else's fault. It doesn't matter what anyone says to you. I don't care how mean it is or how wrong it is or whatever it is. The way you handle it's what creates the problem or not. Should be able to just fall off your back. I'm not saying it's easy all the time. So Dana wrote again, talking about control. If there's no you to live or control anything within time or space, there will be no false identity or phantom man to exist within the mind. And that's telling you how it calms down. There's no you to live or control anything in time. Once you realize there's no you that can live or control anything, it starts to calm down. You can't control it. Just get that in your pretty little head. You have no control. That's the illusion. Rest. Let this love speak to you. But we're afraid of that. We really are. Suffering, I wrote on Facebook that suffering, to me, I think that suffering creates a lot of meditation. My experience. Suffering is an opportunity to withdraw into the depths of silence and discover what we are really deep inside. You can be in the middle of suffering and be at peace. It does not mean the suffering disappears. You disappear and then it no longer becomes personal. That's where the relief comes.
Yeah.
Nobody's causing it. Nobody says you deserve it. Nobody's making it come upon you in any way. It's just life happening. And boy, haven't we screwed that up. That's been a big theology, isn't it? Huh? That's how Gary and I met. I was talking about him. A lot of the kingdom things say, well, you shouldn't have to lose your leg.
Something wrong with your walk.
Exactly.
That's what I was told.
I know. And I was so upset about that teaching at the time, and I think that's why you called me up, you know, because you said, thank you. You know, because everybody else was clamoring and all this healing crap and stuff, and just let it go. Let all that old stuff go. You don't need to be healed from anything. You just, this needs to be healed. It's the only thing that needs healing is right up here.
Yep.
Whether something stays or goes, it's all perfect.
Yep.
And Diane and I just went through something that lasted a year. If I believed any of that bullshit, we'd be so tormented. She was crippled. We haven't talked about it hardly at all, but it was awful. In the realization, what we are is presence. We're presence. Spontaneous love is always present, and that's who we are. That's one of your names, presence. Yeah? What we are is presence. And in that presence, to get to that presence, you have to embrace death. And what dies is all our expectations and judgment and effort to become something.
Yeah.
That's what dies.
Yeah.
It's a thing that's been causing you all the trouble anyway. Don't you want to let that die? Huh? The very thing that's causing you trouble is what needs to die. Whew. Talk about spinning and being out of control. It's really there to bring you relief. It's amazing how much fits in between these two ears, I'm telling you. It's an amazing computer. I'm not cursing it, but it's created a lot of hell. So reality cannot be found. It'll never be found. Because reality is all there is. It's perfect. It's omnipresent, it's always with you. It's unconditional love, and it's all there is every second. You can't escape it. You think you can, but you just wander away in your mind. But you didn't go anywhere. Reality didn't go anywhere. So liberation is the reality that nothing needs to happen and nothing needs to change. So there's this treasure inside you. Isn't that something? This treasure that's the same in every one of us. There's this hidden treasure in us, in every one of us. And I'm going to close by reading what Papaji says about it. I love Papaji. Anybody ever read any of his stuff? Yeah, yeah. Wake Up and Roar. I told you about it. Friday night. You have not looked into your own treasure, he said. You have looked elsewhere and suffered.
Sad.
Huh?
That's sad.
I had
it the whole time.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's never went anywhere. It's never going anywhere. It's always waiting for you like a perfect lover. Never expecting anything, never desiring anything, never wanting anything from you, but just a fellowship. Just to hug you and love you and embrace you, no matter where you find yourself. Huh? Thank you so much, everybody.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.